Giancarlo drives the ball high and deep to left. This is a no-doubter. And a ball lined and caught by Echeverria.
The Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff is on 940 Wins.
Here's the pitch.
Miami Sports.
And Yelich drives a ball high and deep, center field. Going back, Venable. Up, up, and away, it's gone.
Well, the season might be over, but I know one thing's for sure. It's that baseball never stops. The Marlins' 2015 campaign ended some 4 weeks ago, but we're back better than ever with Marlins baseball tonight on your home for Marlins baseball, 940 Wins. Very pleasant. Good evening, everybody. Great to have you on board. And with us tonight, Kyle Seeloff, Mike Lekobiak just across the way in the control room, pressing all the right buttons for us this evening. Well, if you're new to the Hot Stove Show, or even if you've been a longtime listener, here's how it's going to work every Monday right here on 940, 45 minutes in length. Until after the holiday break, we're going to take you right up until the beginning of spring training. Any piece of Marlins news, we're going to have it for you, along with a ton of callers from players, the front office staff, the national and local beat writers. So we'll be jam-packed every week. And our goal here on Monday nights is to keep you up to speed on everything going on inside the Marlins and around Major League Baseball, for that matter, as well. We've got a great show for you tonight. I'm sure you know by now, Don Mattingly, the new skipper of the Marlins, just a sensational guy. You'll hear my one-on-one with Donnie Baseball coming up shortly. In just a minute, we'll kick off the Hot Stove season with a portion of Mattingly's introductory press conference, and we'll wrap things up tonight by chatting about the Marlins' needs this offseason. Who's out there to sign? Will they trade anyone? A lot of questions to be answered these next couple of months. But first, I've got to let you know about some of the terrific events coming up at Marlins Park, ones you don't want to miss. This offseason, just a couple of weeks from now, baseball returns to Marlins Park on November 21st and 22nd for La Serie de las Americas. It's the first ever baseball tournament that presents the top Caribbean winter baseball teams from Venezuela and the Dominican Republic. Both dates will feature a couple of doubleheaders, and make sure you come experience the energy and passion of Caribbean winter baseball. It's absolutely sensational. Even if you've ever caught it on TV, it's an absolute blast to watch. For tickets, go to marlins.com/Serie de las Americas. Hey, catch Billy the Marlin, the energy team, the Marlin street team, the mobile headquarters, and more throughout South Florida this offseason. Win prizes, meet Billy, and stay informed about the team. If you're looking to do so, to see a list of upcoming events and appearances, go to marlins.com/appearances. And never too early to talk about the 2016 season. No matter the occasion, Marlins Park certainly ideal to host entertainment of groups of up to 20 or more. Whether it's a family celebration, a networking event, or a fundraiser for your organization, a Marlins group sales rep can help you arrange your outing at Marlins Park. Go ahead, give them a call, 305-480-2523, or email groups@marlins.com. Well, hey, what do you say we kick this thing off and start tonight with a portion of Don Mattingly's introductory press conference that took place last Monday, November 2nd at Marlins Park. Mattingly inked a four-year deal to guide the Marlins through 2019, but as you'll hear in just a moment, he wants to be here a decade. We'll start with Marlins president David Sampson answering one very big question: why Don Mattingly?
We interviewed a lot of very, very capable individuals for this manager's position because we committed that we wanted this to be the last manager's press conference we ever did. And we've done too many. So we're certainly went in with that frame of mind. So many, many candidates were interviewed. And when we sat down with Don Mattingly, all of the baseball people, Mike Hill, who's here, president of baseball operations, Michael Berger, Jeff McAvoy, Mark Del Piano, Brian Chatton, we all sat down with all the candidates, and when we sat down with Don, something just happened. It was just different. It felt different to all of us. And when we all spoke after and we were talking about all the candidates, what Donnie has, forget the three division championships, forget the fact Donnie Baseball and the career he had, his drive as a manager, his ability to take a team and teach and develop and mold, and his desire to be a Marlin was so apparent from the beginning. And after all the hours we spent and the conversations we spent, he's a family man, and we are a family here. He is a baseball lifer, as we all are. And his drive is something that just came across and oozed from him. And it was just perfect. And under Jeffrey's leadership, we all talked, and it just became the natural thing to offer Donnie the position. And we were very, very thrilled when you accepted. So on behalf of the Miami Marlins, I just want to welcome and Jeffrey Loria and the rest of the organization, front office and beyond. I want to welcome Don Mattingly to the Miami Marlins. Congratulations and thank you.
I'll be brief before I pass it over to the man of the hour. But as we sat here at the end of the season, our singular focus was hiring the next manager of the Miami Marlins. And we said that this was the most important thing that we needed to do as an organization. We feel like there's a lot of talent in that clubhouse, and we needed the right man to lead that talent. And so we started an exhaustive search, and we interviewed a lot of people. And as David mentioned, we all arrived at the same conclusion, that Donny Ocho, Don Mattingly, I was going to be the next manager of the Miami Marlins. So I'm extremely pleased and happy to have him aboard, and looking forward to getting to work right away to do what we need to do to be in the position of the Kansas City Royals. It's fitting that the day after the season officially ends, that a new beginning starts today with Don Mattingly as our manager. So with that, I'll pass you the mic, Don.
All right. Michael, thank you. David, thank you. On behalf of myself, my whole family, Lori, Louie, we are thrilled to be here and excited for the opportunity to come to Miami. And we were talking earlier with Jeff and Tony and the Hawk. The consensus around baseball is that this is a talented club. It's a young, talented club that has a good core, that has a chance to grow and develop. And for me, that was the single biggest thing, and the reason that I was so intrigued with coming to Miami was the chance to develop, the chance to teach, the chance to help mold a young club and to build towards, you know, winning a division, winning a championship, to get back. I think David told me that they have not had a winning season in this building. And that's one of the things we're going to start with. I'm just excited to get to work. All the guys that I had a chance to talk with from Jeffrey and Michael, David, all the group was tremendous conversations. Understanding that this is not a place that you're going to come and we're just going to go buy, trying to buy and fill this place up with free agent talent. It's going to be a place we have to develop through the minor league system. That means continuing to teach, continuing to grow at all times. And I'm just thrilled with that opportunity. So I don't know if I have anything really other than that to say, but be willing or welcome any questions you have.
As far as the process goes, David mentioned that there have been a lot of managers here and that there have been too many. He hopes this is the last one for a while. How much did that weigh into you in your decision-making, the process, when you talked to Jeffrey Loria? And if you don't mind also, what is your relationship with Jeffrey Loria like?
Our relationship is good. I feel, you know, very relaxed around Jeffrey. Met a few years back, you know, coming down here, coming to the old stadium, actually. Have become friends as far as some off the field things, as far as charity work and some things that he does in New York. So that relationship, I feel like, is solid. It was probably the biggest question I had for everyone when we started talking. Like, you know, they would ask me if I had what questions I had, and the ups and downs was the one thing that I wanted to make sure that I was clear on, because there's been so many. You know, different guys, you start something and it changes. It starts something and it changes. I told David, I signed a 4-year deal. I plan on being here at least 10. So I want it to be something that's consistent. I feel like that's so important to building something, is being able to do it year in and year out. So that was part of probably my biggest fear, is that are we just going to come and blow it up and start over and blow it up and start over? I wanted to be able to be part of something that was continual growth.
In Los Angeles, pretty obvious with the huge payroll they had, the goal was World Series or bust. So how do you measure success here?
I think in a sense the same way. It's always going to be the goal. is to win it all. I don't think there's any reason to go anywhere. I told these guys from the very beginning, I don't plan on coming here and losing. I plan on coming here and winning. Obviously, World Series is that final piece that you're looking for. I really believe in more of the process. How do we get there? Everybody will raise their hand if you say, can we, do you want to win a world championship? But all the steps that it takes to get there, that starts with the basics for me, of hard work and preparation, all the things that we have to build and continue to build. And obviously, the building process has started with the core that's here. And now we have to continue to teach, continue to develop. And I really worry about more of the process. Of the work, making sure these guys have their routines and that the work is in place. If we take care of all that and the talents there, then we're going to win. So we take care of the process first. The winning comes along with that. But the ultimate goal is always, I feel like, to win the whole thing.
What convinced you that the continuity and the commitment was to, have something build and overcome the fear that it could be broken up?
I think just the conversations with everyone. Two different sets of conversations was in New York. We had conversations, there about the team, where it was going. And then when we came here to Miami, those were the concerns. I felt very comfortable with our group here that we're building something and that we want to sustain it, but also understanding the challenges of this market and what we have. That, again, it's not a New York or an L.A. where you just go, you can go kind of endless, in a sense, finances. It's a situation that you have to be able to build and continue to build. So just the conversations made me feel comfortable with that. Their commitment towards me, obviously saying that we want you here for a long period of time, is something that I think every manager kind of strives for, but it was something that was really important to me to know that we're going to have a chance to kind of build this and continue to build it and build the relationship and keep building the club.
This is the seventh Marlins manager since 2010, including interim managers. And Jeffrey went after Joe Girardi and Ozzie Guillen with as much fervor as he recruited Don Heat right here. Why should Marlins fans think that this is any different, that this will be sustaining when those two guys in particular lasted only one season?
Well, I think every situation's different, obviously, and certainly we don't want a repeat of what happened in 2012. I think the entire organization's different than it was in 2012, both on the field and off the field, and circumstances are just different. We're 4 years into the new building, starting a fifth year, and there's just something about Donnie that just is it sounds and hears and smells like continuity. Just there's less show. There's just with Donnie, it's baseball. And Ozzy was Ozzy, and 2012 was 2012. It's just a different approach. Our team is built differently. The core we have is different. Their ages are different. The roster makeup is different. The front office makeup is different. Just everything is different. So I really don't think of it that way. And when we talk about why we want it, leadership starts with Jeffrey, and his comfort level is different now with Donnie than it was with any other manager I've ever had with him in our 16 years together. And the consensus that was built amongst the baseball people is different now than it's ever been in the 16 years I've been around. So when you put those two things together, I think that leads to permanence.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot there. There's a lot to take in. There were some pretty tough questions and some answers that had to be, they had to be answered. There were some pretty tough questions there. But the bottom line is that the Marlins just hired an extremely capable big league manager, a guy that just guided the Dodgers to three straight National League West titles. And I'll tell you what, Mattingly is about to inherit an extremely young and talented core of big league ball players. The pressure, it's not going to be there like it was in L.A. I'm extremely excited. Many of you should be as well to see what Donnie Baseball can do here in Miami. And folks, don't forget what the back of Don Mattingly's baseball card looks like. He was a 6-time All-Star, a 9-time Gold Glove Award winner, a 3-time Silver Slugger Award winner. He won the MVP in 1985, he led the league in doubles with 48 RBIs with 145. The previous year in 1984, the first time he was an All-Star, he led the league with 207 hits, 44 doubles. He hit 343. 14 big league seasons that spanned from 1982 to 1995. Don Mattingly, a 307 hitter. He knows the game of baseball. He knows what it takes to win in the game of baseball. I am extremely excited to see what Don Mattingly can bring here to South Florida with a young group of guys. We'll take a quick break. When we return, more with the Marlins' newest manager. I go one-on-one with Don Mattingly to see what was so intriguing about this job in Miami. We'll be right back on your home for Marlins baseball, 940 Wins and iHeartRadio.com.
Baseball's burning questions all winter long. Fire up the stove with the Marlins' Kyle Seeloff on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show. I'm Kyle Seeloff. None of this is possible without our man, producer Mike Lekomiak, pressing all the right buttons behind the glass tonight. As always, a big thank you to Mike. Well, last segment, you heard a portion of Don Mattingly's introductory press conference in Miami last Monday. Right now, my one-on-one sit-down with the Marlins' newest manager. What was so intriguing about the job here in Miami? What's Donnie Baseball think about the young core he's about to inherit? Mattingly answered all of that and much more.
Don, not only the fans, but this organization as a whole, when you were introduced as the manager, it was a lot of excitement. So my first question for you is, why Miami?
The players. It starts with that. It was an opportunity for me to come to a place that you get a chance to teach, you get a chance to develop good young talent. Just a different situation than I've been in the past few years. I know we're going to have to develop. I know we're going to have to continue to grow these players, and I like the challenge of being able to do that. And I think this team is close. It was a place I felt like that, you know, we come in and we can get this club, you know, moving in the right direction quickly. A lot of good pieces. Obviously, we got to continue to build upon that, but a lot of good pieces.
You did just allude to it a little bit. But what about this ball club was so appealing?
I think just the youth and the talent. I think when you start looking at the roster, almost every age, you kick Ichiro out of the mix. Pretty much everybody in their mid-20s. A team that's talented. When you see it from the other side, you know it's a team with talent. Once people started hearing that I was coming here, the number of people that wanted to come with me was off the charts. But also they all knew that this was a young, talented club that had a chance to do some things quickly.
When you take a look at this ball club, Ichiro, then you take a look at a young core. It's led by Giancarlo Stanton on the mound, Jose Fernandez, D. Gordon, who you know very well, and a guy at shortstop who we think should be a Gold Glover, and Adani Echeverria, not to mention a Gold Glover in left field, Christian Yelich. How much does the young core excite you, Don?
No, it's really a big part of you know, when you come here. And I think that's the key part, is that there's a lot of good young players. You speak about the defense up the middle. The outfield is solid. A young catcher that everyone seems to love. Pitching, starting with Jose, with a lot of other good arms out there. So there's some talent here. And, you know, the fun part of that for me is really trying to make sure the culture is good for them, put them in good position, give them a chance to reach their goals. And those guys, I guarantee you, they just got done watching, as we're speaking, the World Series ended yesterday. These guys watched that World Series, and they know that they're a club that has a chance to get there, and that's where they would like to get to. So that's my job, and our staff's job is to come in, create an environment, put them in position to win, to let that talent out.
At the end of every season, that goal is to hoist the World Championship trophy. With that being said, season one upcoming, expectations are what?
To win. Pretty much I told everyone here when we came here, I don't expect to lose. I expect us to win. I expect us to be competitive from the beginning. I think this club, we know we're in a tough division. The Mets obviously all of a sudden stepped up. The Nationals, we know, are a really talented club that had a rough year. Different clubs within the division. Philly's a young club on the move. Atlanta's a young club that's getting ready to get better. So this is going to be a black and blue division, which I like, because I know teams will beat each other up a little bit. And I think we can, you know, put enough wins up to be in a pennant race at the end of this thing. And then once you get yourself into that, if you can perform well down the stretch to get yourself in the playoffs, then anything can happen.
The newest member of the Miami Marlins, the manager, Don Mattingly, joining us on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Don, What kind of tone will you set come spring training? For those that don't know Don Mattingly, how does he manage?
Well, we're going to work. That's what we're going to start with. I believe in the process. We all know we want to get to the World Series. We want to get into the playoffs. But the process of getting there is really a work environment. It's a guys that are focused that have we want to create that drive to get better every day. And the process for me is just continually trying to get better, continually being ready to play. You play 162 games, you got to have some toughness in there with that. You can't just show up when you want to. You got to play every day. And so that's the kind of tone we'll be trying to set.
For you and your family to hit the reset button, to now call Miami home, how refreshing can a new start be? Does it energize you?
It does energize me. I mean, I love managing, period. So I loved being in L.A. managing. I love the challenge of this club. So I'm always energized in that respect. But Miami's, in an area for us. I grew up playing in Lauderdale pretty much every spring from 1980, to the end of my career. This is a place that's fairly close to home for us, so it's a chance for us to maybe lay down roots and be involved in the community in somewhere that, we would consider home.
Come spring training, there's going to be a piece of paper in front of you, but this team was 20 games under 500 last season. There's a young core. There's a lot of good baseball players in this organization. You're up for the challenge. You like a good challenge, don't you?
I really do. I think that's the exciting part, is to basically help these guys reach their potential. And I think that's what everyone wants to see. If we can play our best baseball, if our guys will go out and work and prepare, and we can play our best baseball, then we feel like we're going to be in the hunt. And it's going to be tough. We know that. But we do have talent. And I think that's one of the things that I want these guys to show up and be able to show the world how good they are. Hoping to fill this place up. I'd love to be able to get our fans excited about this club and what they're doing. So if we can put wins on the board, get the people out here, and then let these guys do their thing.
We're not going to talk about a ton of individual players. One of the best double play duo combinations in all of Major League Baseball in D. Gordon and Adani Echevarria. But from your side of the dugout now, you get to pencil in Giancarlo Stanton's name. That's got to be a little bit easier than watching him play against you.
No question. Giancarlo is a guy that you fear at all times. Pretty much every game plan was you can't let Giancarlo beat you. You got to keep the guys on base, keep the guys in front of him off base. Our job here will be get guys on base in front of him and put him in a position that he can do damage. I'm excited to see Giancarlo on a daily basis. Obviously, this guy across the field is a scary guy to deal with.
He hit a pretty big home run in L.A. last season, left field, that cleared the entire ballpark.
He did, and I remember that one. So, and I've seen him hit many balls here. I've seen him hit some line drives here that I was, thankful that they were low, and then they end up hitting something out there on the other side of the wall I was just shocked by. So I'm looking forward to having the chance to work with Giancarlo and really putting him in a position to win and get our club in a place where he gets to show his talents.
A couple more questions as we wrap up with the newest manager of the Miami Marlins, Don Mattingly. On paper, doesn't always mean a ton. Injuries certainly play a factor. But when you take a look at a potential lineup with the speed at the top, the power in the middle, young, fast, you got a catcher in JT Realmuto that could hit in the middle of the lineup, and he can steal bases. The lineup from 1 to 8, it's pretty complete if guys can stay healthy.
I agree with you. I look at when you start looking at this club, you don't really sit here and go, well, we need this or this. It's more of a thing like you talked about earlier. We got to keep these guys healthy. And can we build some depth around them to make sure that we can sustain an injury or two? Because they're going to happen. It just happens to every club. There's going to be some guys that go down. We're going to lose them for 2 weeks. Hopefully that's the length of time we lose them. When you start losing guys for longer than that, then you start getting in trouble.
Donnie, last question for you as we wrap up on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. From your experience, how will you, as a manager, go about getting to know 25, 30, 35 different guys come spring training?
Well, I won't wait till then.
That's a process that starts earlier then.
Yeah, it starts right away. I'll be reaching out to players. As soon as this became official, I'll start to reach out to players. I want to go visit a few guys, make sure that we've talked before we get to spring training. But as getting ready to go to New York for meetings, where we'll go through the whole club, look at the possible free agents, 6-year free agent type guys that we would have. We need to create depth. We need to, you know, I know we're looking for a number two starter. There's some things that we're looking for. So we'll get into the kind of the meat and potatoes of the guys for me. I see them from across the field I know D really well, but if I see guys across the field 8 times a year, 9 times a year, now I get a chance to hear what the organization thinks, and they've seen him for 162 over a couple of years. They'll be able to tell me their strengths and weaknesses. How can we help them? What's the best position for them? Where do they fit in the lineup? Things like that. So we'll work through all that.
Don Mattingly, welcome to the Miami Marlins organization. Have a happy and healthy offseason. We'll chat with you again soon.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, again, a big thank you to Don Mattingly for taking a couple of minutes for us. And there are a few answers to me anyway that were really encouraging. Number one, Donnie mentioned how close he thinks this team is. He's seen them from afar for a couple of years now. And you can just tell how excited he is to get working with this young group of guys. We talked about getting a fresh start, and that energizes him. And that's certainly something that you're asking for out of a manager coming to a ball club that was 20 games under 500 last season. The Marlins finished 71-91, but there's so much young talent. There's so much promise if guys can stay healthy. Number two, and maybe most importantly, or one of the most important things that I think he mentioned, he didn't mention it, but you can tell, Don Mattingly, he comes from that old school style of baseball. He's a no-nonsense guy. He said these guys are going to work. And I'll tell you what, to be quite honest, I think that's great for this ball club. When you lose 3 or 4 in a row, when things are not going well, get back in the batter's box. Quit whining. Quit complaining. Let's go out there and find a way to win the baseball game. If not, sit on the bench. We're going to find somebody else to do it for you. And I'm not going to say that's going to happen, but I think he's that type of guy that commands respect. Players are going to give him respect. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a chance to chat with Marlins all-star D. Gordon. I'd love to hear what he has to say. He played for Don Mattingly for a couple of seasons out in L.A. So this ball club, they're going to grind it out, take it from there. But it's apparent that he holds his players accountable, which I think is going to be terrific for this ball club. Lastly, and maybe this is the most important, he talked about building from within a little bit. And he mentioned this in his press conference, too. He knows the circumstances are different here in Miami. You just can't go out. You can't buy a championship. The Dodgers tried to do it. They couldn't do it. But the Marlins have got to work. They've got to work for it. They've got to start drafting well. They've got to start stockpiling up on minor league talent. So this is going to be a process. Everybody knows that. It may take a couple of years. Make no mistake about it. But hold the thought on that. That's not to say that they won't be successful this season. But keep in mind, when your minor league system is a bit depleted, it takes a little while. It takes a little while to build it up. The good thing the Marlins have going for them, though, is that they've got a bunch of young baseball players and some veterans on the ball club, too. Keep in mind, Martin Prado, Ichiro coming back next season. But then you go around the diamond a little bit, and we'll do this shortly. JT Realmuto, Justin Bour, one of the best double play duos in all of baseball, and D. Gordon and Adani Echevarria, left to right in the outfield, the Gold Glover in left field, and Christian Yelich, Marcell Ozuna in center field, who we're going to talk about here in a couple of minutes. I think Marcell Ozuna is a very, very interesting player on the Marlins roster to watch this offseason, and of course, the big man in right field. If he can stay healthy, Giancarlo Stanton, and I asked Donnie, 1 through 8, it's a pretty complete ball club. He tended to agree. We'll just have to see. Of course, for every single team, all 30 teams, health is always a major factor. And we'll just have to see how this plays out. Headed into spring training, a long ways to go, though. There's a lot of off-season baseball. The Hot Stove Show just getting fired up. The GM meetings these next couple of days just north in Boca Raton, so may not see much happen there. General managers certainly test the waters. They feel things out a little bit. They see where other ball clubs are this time of year. But I'll tell you what, Don Mattingly and the Marlins front office clearly on the same page already and have a vision not only now but down the road as well, and I think that could certainly breed success. We'll just have to see how it all plays out. We'll step aside for just a couple of minutes. Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll check out some of the biggest names in free agency this winter. What can we expect the Marlins to do? What are their needs? What are the chances they'll fill and solidify some of those needs? We'll chat about it next. You're listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show on your home for Marlins baseball, 940 Wins at iHeartRadio.com.
Baseball's hot stove season is here.
The Marlins' Kyle Seeloff is on.
940 wins.
It's to D. Gordon, a high fly ball right field. Back goes Francoeur. He's at the wall. Goodbye!
Miami Sports.
Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with us to chat a little Marlins baseball on this Monday night in South Florida. I know what you're saying. It's November 9th. What the heck are we chatting baseball for? Marlins season's been over for about a month now, but I'll tell you what. Even starting today, the general manager meetings in Boca Raton just a couple of weeks from now is the winter meetings. It can take place in Nashville, Tennessee, and that's where things really get cranked up. We're going to check out a lot of the free agents here in a couple of minutes. It's always fun to check out maybe the top 10 to 15 names in baseball. Not saying they're coming here to South Florida, but it's always interesting to see where they were, where they end up, and you kind of track their progress as the years go along when they sign their big deals. If you're just joining us, not to worry. Make sure you subscribe to the Marlins podcast on Marlins.com and catch all of our interviews, hot stove shows, and everything else Marlins related all off season long. Again, that's Marlins.com/podcasts. Well, if you're just joining us, we dove headfirst into the Don Mattingly hire in our first and second segments. And to wrap things up tonight, we'll take a look at some of the biggest free agent names on the market this winter. We'll chat about the Marlins' needs, where should they look, and where they may be looking, in addition to a brief outlook and what will make the Marlins successful in 2016. But first, got to tell you about some of the other terrific events coming up at Marlins Park and around South Florida within the Marlins organization. The Grand Slam Party Latino coming to Marlins Park. The biggest stars in Latin music will converge in Miami on Saturday, December 5th, for the first concert in Marlins Park history. The extravaganza features a lineup of over 20 renowned artists together for the first time in concert. Ricky Martin, Prince Royce, Alejandro Sanz, Willie Colon, Jerry Rivera, and many more. And don't miss this chance to see these Latin stars live in concert on December 5th. Make sure you head to Marlins.com/Grand Slam. to lock in your tickets today. And well, just a couple of weeks after that Grand Slam party, the Miami Beach Bowl going to return to Marlins Park on Monday, December 21st. The second annual Miami Beach Bowl features a top team from the American Athletic Conference against a team from the Conference USA. And for more information on tickets and potential matchups, go to MiamiBeachBowl.com. And let's see here, February 18th. I know it's a long ways away from now. It's going to creep up on us quickly. One of the best events the Marlins put on throughout the course of the season and in the offseason, the Marlins celebrity chef Adrian Calvo. Make sure you join the Marlins. It's the second annual Taste of Miami at Marlins Park Thursday, February 18th. You can indulge in the stylish flavors of Miami with delectable culinary bites and premium spirits, craft beers and wines from the best local restaurants and breweries. The highlight of the evening, it'll be a sizzling head-to-head live cooking competition between Miami's finest chefs and Marlins ballplayers. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was Jose Fernandez and Giancarlo Stanton at the ballpark last season. And if you want to get involved there, want to jump on board, more information, tickets, sponsorships, call 305-480-2550 or go to Marlins.com/Taste of Miami. And, you know, last segment, talking about all the youth here in Miami, if you want to come out and catch the Marlins in 2016, you want to be a season ticket holder, you can be a Marlins season ticket holder. The only way to guarantee access to the 2017 All-Star Game at Marlins Park. I know they've been emphasizing that, folks. If you want to come to the All-Star Game, I know it's 2 years away. The only way you can do so is to guarantee access to that 2017 All-Star Game is to be a Marlins season ticket holder. Go ahead and place your 2016 Marlins season ticket deposit. Join the Fish family today. You can guarantee All-Star Game tickets. Little as 20-game mini plan purchase. Call 1-877-MARLINS or go to marlins.com/tickets. Well, some of the biggest free agent names, some of the Marlins free agents, let's take a look at them, and it's always fun this time of the year to do this. MLB on MLB.com, you can go to the Hot Stove, the free agent, Hot Stove Tracker page, and they've got a list of 15 guys just up front. It's going to be some of the biggest and hottest commodities in baseball this offseason. Briefly, we'll go through them. We won't go through their baseball reference page, the back of their baseball cards, any of that stuff, but a lot of starting pitching: David Price, Zach Greinke, Johnny Cueto, Jason Hayward. He's going to be a hot commodity in the outfield. Jordan Zimmermann, another starting pitcher. He was with the Washington Nationals. Five more names: Justin Upton, Alex Gordon, Chris Davis, Yoenis Cespedes, Jeff Samardzija, Matt Wieters, Mike Leake, Ben Zobrist, Daniel Murphy, Dexter Fowler. That's the 15 names right now that MLB has out and names to keep track of. I really like Mike Leake. Really, really like Mike Leake. I'm not sure he's one of the top starting pitching free agents, but I think it's a guy the Marlins might take a look at. Now, talking about Miami, We'll take a look at these unsigned free agents just to kind of get you caught up to speed here. During the season, we know Jeff Baker, Jordani Valdez being released. Since the end of the regular season, Reid Brignac signed a minor league contract on October 23rd with the Atlanta Braves. Eric Cordier, who we saw out of the bullpens for the Marlins this season's minor league free agent. Don Kelly, Jeff Mathis, Casey McGee, all free agents. I'm not too sure we're going to see Don Kelly or Casey McGee. Keep an eye on Jeff Mathis. The Marlins value him as a backstop. He's a great guy to have in the clubhouse. It'll be interesting to see if Jeff Mathis is back in a Marlins uniform next season. If not, where does he land up? And Chris Narvison, Donovan Solano, both Solanos, Donovan Jonathan are both minor league free agents. And again, Donovan Solano, one of those guys that can play a lot of different positions. We'll have to see if the Marlins offer him a minor league contract. He might have to work his way onto the big league roster next season. Just a couple of minutes here before we wrap up. One of the bigger questions this offseason for the Marlins will be what they need and what they're potentially willing to deal in exchange for those needs. Most importantly, I think you immediately turn to the starting pitching staff, and here's why. Jose Fernandez, I know we just got a couple of minutes, but I'd like to get through this quickly because I think it's intriguing. It'll be interesting to look at. Jose Fernandez, Henderson Alvarez, Jared Cozart, Nicolino, Conley, and Tom Kolder. Break that down for a second. Jose Fernandez will be healthy entering 2016, but how many innings can he give you? What will the doctors suggest? Let's say Jose can give you somewhere around 180 innings. Will that force the Marlins at times to go to a six-man rotation? If so, can you count on Henderson Alvarez, who's been injury-prone? There's no certainty he's going to be ready on opening day. What about Jared Cozart, who suffered vertigo last season and tossed just 69 and two-thirds innings to a tune of a 4.52 ERA? Then there's Adam Conley and Justin Nicolino. Conley tossed a career-high 174 innings last season. Nicolino, 189 combined innings last year. But neither one of those guys have yet to go through a big league season. Amongst the six guys I mentioned, I really think you look at Tom Kolder as the horse in the entire group. He hasn't been injury prone. He'll go out and log 30 plus starts, 200 plus innings for you. Now, with all that being said, there's certainly some cause for concern, but isn't there always with starting pitching? And it's not just the Marlins. It applies to every team. And there's something to be said for those who can say never have enough pitching, which is why two what they would call mid-tier starters may be perfect for this rotation. As we wrap up tonight, I say mid-tier, but wait a minute, because John Heyman of CBS Sports is reporting that there may be interest between the Marlins and the Indians to deal Marcel Ozuna for one of the Indians' young starting pitchers like Danny Salazar or Carlos Carrasco. Let's say the Marlins worked out a deal for a young starting pitcher with plenty of team control, and you add him to your rotation. That would leave a mid and a void in center field, but you could pick that up in free agency. It's much easier to find an outfielder than it is a solid starting pitcher. So maybe the Marlins go that route. Maybe they get a starting pitcher in a trade, and they're left with shopping the market for an outfielder and a starting pitcher. I should mention, too, and Joe Fracero, who does a wonderful job covering the Marlins for MLB.com, wrote an article this morning about the Marlins checking out the bullpen market, whether it's through a trade or free agency this offseason as well. Jam-packed show tonight. We've got a lot more coming up in the coming weeks. Every Monday night, 45 minutes, 7 to 7:45. It's always an absolute pleasure. I know it's only November 9th, but I'm telling you, we're going to be jam-packed on the Marlins Hot Stove Show this winter. Mike Lekomiak, as always, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to have you behind the glass. Again, a big thank you to Don Mattingly for joining us. He's the new manager of your Miami Marlins. For Kyle Seeloff, you've been listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Coming up next, it's Monday Night Football, the San Diego Chargers and the Chicago Bears. Thanks again.